Well, we're thankful for each one that's here this morning. And most of all, we want the Lord to be with us. Write a couple words on the board. So what we've written on the board is aiding and abetting. Anybody ever heard that before? Anybody know what that means? Aiding and abetting. Well, what's that? Aiding, yeah. Aiding can be a very positive thing, isn't it? I like it when somebody aids me in something that I'm doing. A lot of things that can come out of that that's good. Abetting. What does abetting mean? We don't use that word outside of this phrase, aiding and abetting. We don't use that phrase, that word abetting, in much other settings, but I'm confident that it could be used. It means to encourage or counsel, maybe instigate something would be abetting. And so this is something I've thought about, dwelled on this week a little bit. Aiding and abetting. I'm going to read some definitions and some excerpts from some information I found doing a little research. Aiding is providing assistance, such as giving a weapon to a criminal or driving a getaway car. That would be aiding. And abetting is encouraging, counseling, or instigating the commission of a crime. Aiding and abetting is a legal doctrine related to the guilt of someone who aids or abets, encourages, or incites another person in the commission of a crime. Aiding and abetting generally involves helping someone else commit a crime or encouraging them to commit a crime. And a defendant sometimes may be convicted of aiding and abetting a crime even if they were not present when it was committed. Think about that. Could be convicted of aiding and abetting a criminal action even if you weren't present when it happened. Aiding and abetting is a criminal offense on its own. You can be found guilty of it in addition to being guilty of the crime that the principal offender committed. So aiding and abetting is a criminal offense that would be added to. You might think you took a small part in a crime and the other person did the real act, but aiding and abetting is a separate criminal offense on top of armed robbery or whatever might be the criminal offense that the other person did. It seems like that we live in a social and political climate today in our United States that there seems to be a lot of aiding and abetting going on, and then there's others that commit acts of violence. If you really think about it, it seems like that's the climate that we have. And I'm not standing here this morning to degrade our social condition or our government this morning. It's just, I want us to kind of have a grasp on what aiding and abetting is when it comes to legal, judicial type element. And I trust that none of us here would ever be tempted or excited to, that maybe that's not, excited is not the right word, but I trust that we never would find ourselves in a place where we could be charged with aiding or abetting a criminal. That would be a horrific thing. And to think that you could be charged with aiding and abetting a criminal act and not even be present when the action took place was a little bit of an eye-opener to me when I read that. But I think sometimes about the things that we talk about when we're around others. And I wonder how many times we've said something like, well, you know, something ought to be done to that person, or something ought to be done for that situation. And if others, if we continually prod a certain thing or suggest that some criminal act should be done, did you know that possibly could be aiding and abetting if someone else carries that out? So I'm not suspicious of anyone here doing that, but I can see that that's happened. I know it has, that somebody else has, they have aided or abetted. They have incited anger. They've incited violence. They've incited suggestive things in other people's minds to the point that someone else felt like they had to do it. And that's aiding and abetting. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. So, I'm concerned that we as Christians would be successful in our walk with the Lord. And I want us to look at a few scriptures this morning. I'd like to turn to the book of 2 John. Only has one chapter, 13 verses. It's very likely that John was towards the end of his life when he wrote this, may have wrote it about the same time that he wrote the book of Revelations. I don't know that for a fact, but that's what some people seem to think. And he said, in verse 1, he says, the elder, talking about himself, when do you start calling yourself an elder? I don't think he was talking about his position as much in the church as much as he was talking about his age. But somewhere along the line, you have to say, well, I'm elderly. You know, I'm right there at the threshold of being qualified and then being willing to say, do you offer a senior discount? You know what I mean? Some of you, that's a long ways off, and some of you may be right there with me. But anyway, Just the idea of being able to acknowledge that I qualify for a senior discount at a place to eat or anybody else that offers discounts for elderly people. there's something about, and John said, the elder unto the elect lady. So whether it was an individual or the elect lady was talking about the church at large, I don't know who he's addressing here, but he says, and her children. It could be that he's addressing this to the whole church, right? To the elect lady and her children. I want to be a child of the bride. I want to be a child of God. I want to be one of those, a number. He says, and to her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only I also, but all they that have known the truth. You know, to know the truth is such a valuable thing. It's so wonderful to know the right answer, the right perspective. It's nothing more disappointing than to realize that you're up against a dilemma or up against a problem and you really don't have all of the right information. One thing in my life right now that is not a huge deal, but I don't feel like I have all the right information on. I have a scissor lift. Those of you knows what a scissor lift is. I have a scissor lift at my house that's been non-functional for 2 or 3 years. And I either need to fix it or I need to scrap it, one of the two. And it was working like a scissor lift ought to work until it went over a bump. And then it quit. And I'll just tell you that I don't feel like I have enough information. I don't know the truth. I don't know the whole truth. Why did it quit when it run over a bump? I've wiggled some connections and I've checked some voltages and I've done a few things that I knew to do, but I don't understand this piece of machinery, and I've just put it on the back burner and kept putting it on the back burner and the back burner, and I need to make a decision. It's taking up space. I either need to fix it or I need to scrap it, one of the two. And then I have something that is much more prevalent or much more prominent in my mind. I have something that I have worked on and off for a couple weeks now on the job. And I don't know. I have a trouble code that shows up and I've read everything I can find to read. And I just don't know the truth of the whole thing. And I don't like being in that situation. I don't know what the right answer. I wished I could stand here and tell you I know what I'm going to do to fix that problem. But I can't because I don't know. I don't know the truth. But to know the truth is so valuable. It's such a foundational anchor point for us. And John says, not just the old guy, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, shall be with us forever. I want to step down now to the 9th verse. He says, whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. And we could spend many, many Sundays and many, many messages about what the doctrine of Christ is. But he says, whoso transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. There is going to be a harmony with knowing the doctrine of Christ. The gospel message is going to be harmonious with Christian living. It's going to be something that empowers us to have victory in our everyday life. And he says, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. So if there's someone, and John lived in a time when there was some apostasy already happening. And there were people that were teaching that the resurrection had already happened. And there were people that were off on what the truth was. They weren't giving the whole truth. And maybe it was because they didn't know, and maybe it was because they knew, but yet they wanted to. There was a man, it's mentioned in the scripture, and it was referenced, I believe, maybe Wednesday night in our service, Simon the Sorcerer. You ever heard that name? You know, he promoted himself as a god. He promoted himself, and when he was challenged, there's a story, a legend, I don't know, it's not in the scripture, that he was going to try to prove that he was a god by flying through the air. And he either jumped off of something high or something, and I believe Peter was there, Peter or Paul, and they began to pray that the deception would be revealed to everybody. And of course this man hit the ground and that's supposedly how he met his demise. But he says here, if there's any that come and bring not this doctrine, this doctrine of Christ, the good, solid, sound instruction that is truth, that delivers us from the power of sin, and we could, like I said, this could be elaborated into to many, many discussions, many, many hours. We don't have that much time this morning. He says, if they don't bring this, don't receive them into your house. That doesn't mean you can't be friendly to them. But don't give them a place to promote what they brought. Okay? He says, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Did you know that we can aid and abet sin? It's possible. I want to be careful. I want the gospel message and the doctrine of Christ to be on exhibit in my life and in my actions and how I deal with others. And I don't want to cut anybody off. But I want to be real careful not to be guilty of aiding and abetting something that wouldn't meet God's approval. John had been around long enough that he called himself the elder. And I believe he wasn't because I'm a leader in the church. I believe he said, I'm an elder because I got a lot of years under my belt. And he said here, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. We can be guilty not only of a crime that was committed, but of the crime of aiding and abetting in our judicial system, in our legal system today. You hide a criminal, that'd be aiding. You give them housing and a secret room to live in, that's aiding and abetting a criminal. You drive the getaway car, aiding and abetting. If we promote something that is not truth when we know the truth. He says here in the beginning, he said that he was writing to the elect lady. And if we assume today that it was a writing to the church at large, whom I love in the truth, and not only I only, but also all they that have known the truth. If we have known the truth, Folks, it's different when you don't know. Because I feel like that you can be found not guilty of aiding and abetting when you don't know. But when you know, and then you aid and abet, that's an offense in itself, in our legal system. So I want to be careful. You know the truth? Then be careful about what we promote. I'd like to turn, there's a difference between friendly, being friendly and courteous, and condoning the deeds and actions of another one. There's a big difference in that. Let's go to 1 Timothy, see what the Apostle Paul says. 1 Timothy chapter 5, and we'll notice verse 22. Now chapter 5 of 1 Timothy seems like there's a lot of it's almost like a chapter in Proverbs. There's a lot of one verse or two verse instruction, advice points. And remember, Paul was writing to a younger man in the Lord and someone he considered his son. And he says in verse 22, "Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure." Lay hands on no man. Lay hands suddenly on no man. All of those words are very important. To lay hands on someone is implying that they are being ordained or promoted or accepted or and suddenly means like arbitrarily or at a moment's notice or without proper consideration. You know, we're instructed to know those that labor among us. So for someone to come among us and no one know anything and then give them the opportunity to take a position of teaching or ministering in our midst is a serious thing. And he says, lay hands suddenly on no man. We want to make sure that the ones that's being put in a place that would be giving instruction would be given sound instruction, that they've proved themselves to be qualified. No, we don't have a checklist to go over, but we need to give it some time to make sure that their spirit bears witness with God's spirit. So he says, lay hands. This is advice that Paul gives Timothy. Lay hands or ordain no one suddenly. Neither be partaker of other men's sins. Don't be part of other people's transgressions. And I know that we're faced with some very sensitive areas. I have been, and you, I'm sure you have been or will be. I want to be nice because I like people to be nice to me. And I want people to like me. And I want to be friendly and show myself friendly so I can have friends. But I want to be very careful that I don't aid or abet practices that aren't aligned with God. We're going to find ourselves in life, just the reality of it, we're going to find ourselves in situations where we don't know what we should do. I've been there, and we could all go around the room and we could all say I've been there too. been in those places where it's like, now what am I supposed to do? I just got something, you know, I didn't know that the end destination was here when I got in the car. Ever been there? I have. I went with some men that I was going to class with, and they said, let's go here. And it was like, I don't know exactly where here is, but they were all going there for lunch, and I said, I'll go. And we got there, and I was riding with someone else, and I wasn't paying attention, and it was been a long walk. What do you do? You can find yourself in places that you never would have went on your own. Okay? I'm not here to try to heap fire and brimstone on anybody's head, but I just want us to be conscious. I don't want to be guilty of aiding or abetting sinful practices. All right? I want to be clear. I want to have enough evidence to convict me of being a sincere Christian, but I don't want there to be evidence that I have been aiding and abetting sinful practices. So he said here, lay hands suddenly on no man. Don't ordain somebody. Don't put them in a place of leadership without a due process to verify that they're really in a place to fill that spot. Don't do that. And then he said, neither be partakers of other men's sins. Did you know that if you drive the getaway car, you're a partaker of whatever the person did that needs the getaway car? Don't be a partaker. Don't drive the getaway car for the sinful practice. That means making a plan to be an accessory to whatever's going on. It might be just being quiet when some type of abuse happened. That could get close to home. Lord, help us to know what our responsibilities are. An accessory to the crime. He says, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Are we in a place? Have we been in a place? Well, we've had to ask the Lord, how do I keep myself unspotted from the world right here where I'm at? I would venture that we've all had some circumstance where we felt that pressure. I don't want to have this on my record. I don't want it to appear. I know this is heavy and this is serious this morning, but I feel like it's what the Lord dealt with me about this week, and I want to be careful in myself. I don't want to aid or abet the works of the devil. I don't want to put myself in a place. Ask the Lord, if it's something that we can't condone, we can, instead of giving approval, we can thank God for having mercy. All right? If it's something that we can't say, I'm with you on this one, we can thank God for having mercy on all of us. And I'm not here wanting us to go away from this setting and to do a bunch of slashing and hacking. That's not what the point is. I want us to be cognizant of, am I aiding and abetting? Or am I holding the truth in my heart. I want to be careful. I want us all to be careful. I'd like to go now to Romans, the first chapter. And I would like for us to look at a verse, several verses. I'm going to read down. Romans 1 is one of those verses, or one of those places that have some things that seem to fill the place, fill in the like it was written for the current age that we live in. So I'd like to begin in verse 18. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." And there could be a message on that too. We can hold a true position in an unrighteous fashion. You know what I'm saying? You might know the right way to do something, and you can make everyone else that's trying feel like a failure if they don't do it exactly the way, you know, you don't breathe in and breathe out just exactly like me. You can make someone else feel like a failure. He said, don't do that. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." He says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." I don't believe that we're going to face God with, "I don't know." I don't believe we're going to be convicted on, "I don't know." I believe there's going to be an understanding that we have to come to that's going to cause conviction to happen. And I want us to be true to those convictions. He says in verse 21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." "They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and birds and four-footed beast and creeping things." Sounds like idolatry, doesn't it? That's what they did. He says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." That is a sign that paganism and the dragon has been released. It's when people begin to worship the creature more than the Creator. It says, "For this cause God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, having the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient," those things that are beyond truth, "being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Implacable is those that's unwilling to accept instruction or input from someone else, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, but not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Who's he addressing here? He's addressing those that would have a mind to be accepted in God's sight. And he said, you're living in a time when things are deplorable. There's a lot of terrible things going on around. And is that not true today? A lot of terrible things going on all around us. And we could go through and elaborate and enumerate and expand on each one of these. I'm not going to do that this morning. Not going to try to do that. Not prepared to do that. But I want us to go down to that last verse. It says, who, knowing the judgment of God. You know the judgment of God on some of these things? Maybe all of these things. Maybe some of these things you don't really understand, but maybe some of them you do. And that might be different from person to person here in the audience today. He says, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. There is a severe consequence. It's going to sever your relationship with God to be guilty of some of these things that's up here. Maybe every one of them, especially when you understand. And he says, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You ever heard somebody say something like, I wouldn't want to do it, but somebody had to do it? Ever heard that? I never felt comfortable doing whatever, but I know they had fun. I want to ask us a serious question this morning. Is that aiding and abetting? Is it? That's a question that we all have to ask ourselves. I'm not asking you to give me an answer audibly this morning. But I want us to think about, there's a lot of things that bring the judgment and the consequences of God that we would say it's sin. It's wrong. Shouldn't be named once among us as Christians. And I might be able to say amen to all of that. But I want to be careful that I don't take pleasure in them that do them. I don't want to be guilty. I don't want to be criminally guilty of aiding and abetting. I don't want to talk to my coworkers about dealing with people in a manner that one of them does something that someone else said in jest that would be harsh. That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? I certainly would never want to be guilty of aiding and abetting someone. If somebody asked me to drive for them and they want me to stop in front of the bank while they run in and they pull a hoodie down over their eyes, I don't want to be part of that. I don't want to be part of that at all. And I don't want to be aiding and abetting sinful practices either. And I know that every one of us here may face some things. You may face things that I've never had to face. And we may face things that others never face. And I'm not here to throw a rock at anybody this morning. I just want us to think, can we ask God to have mercy on some situations? I believe there is. Lord, help us to never be harsh, but to be cognizant of, am I aiding and abetting? Where is the line? Because I don't want to be guilty of that. Just like I don't want to be guilty of being aiding and abetting a bank robbery, a burglary, or some other, an act of violence. I don't want to be part of that. And I don't want to be part of someone that, I don't want to encourage and incite them in sinful practices. And I don't want to be part of the act. I don't want to be holding the bag while they're... Please try to understand what I'm saying this morning. I want us to be kind, and I believe the Lord can give us all wisdom, because we're all going to face some of those situations where it's like, Lord, I don't know what else to do. What am I in this for? Am I in this to try to help the victim? I certainly don't want to aid the perpetrator. But am I trying to be an assistant to, am I the soft landing place for the victim and trying to get them back on track and help them to get their life back in order? I certainly don't want to be guilty of aiding the person that's causing the injury. Someone that's engaged in the sinful act. So Lord, help us here, all of us. May the Lord give us wisdom. You pray for me. I want to be careful. I want to be faithful. And I don't want to ever be guilty of aiding or abetting sin or promoting something that is not truly got God's sanction and His approval on. You pray for me.